Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some families talk openly about the strange things that happen to them. Others bury those things under rules, traditions, and silence, passing them down without explanation. In her family, nothing supernatural was ever discussed directly. It was simply managed, avoided, or punished. She was born in Lithuania in the city of Kaunas, surrounded by relatives who believed deeply in things they never fully explained. Her grandparents on both sides shared the same quiet certainty about what not to do. Mirrors were covered after a death so a soul wouldn't become trapped. You never rocked an empty chair because you might be rocking your dead child. You never rang a bell inside the house because bells invited something that wasn't meant to be there. These rules weren't framed as folklore or superstition. They were enforced. She learned early that certain actions brought immediate consequences, anger, fear, sharp corrections, without ever being told why. As a child, she broke those rules without understanding them and was punished for it, and not gently corrected, but stopped, as if she'd brushed up against something dangerous without realizing it. That was normal to her. What wasn't normal came at night. When she was very young, she suffered from night terrors so severe that they didn't resemble ordinary nightmares. She shared a bedroom with her brother in their small apartment, and it was he who later told her what happened when she slept. She would scream, thrash, cry out. Her parents would rush in, trying to wake her, calling her name, shaking her shoulders, jam, and nothing worked. She never responded. And now, sometimes she would get out of bed and walk around the apartment, eyes open but unfocused. When her mother asked her what she was doing, she would answer calmly that she was going home. Not to bed. Home. She doesn't know how old she was then. Only that one day, as abruptly as it had started, it all stopped. The screaming ceased. The walking ended. The nights returned to something resembling peace. Years later, she asked her father why it had happened. It was late. He'd been drinking more than usual, the kind of drinking that loosens things people normally keep locked away. When she asked, his expression changed. He didn't laugh it off. He didn't dismiss it. He looked frightened, not of her, but of the question itself. I know why, he told her, but I'll take it to my grave. That answer stayed with her far longer than the terrors ever had. Later, when she was 9, her family moved to the United States, northern Indiana, near South Bend, a place that felt quieter, flatter, and less charged than the world she remembered. For a while, everything was normal. There were creaks and noises like any other house, but nothing that stood out, nothing that felt intentional. That changed when they moved into the third house, and it was newly built, clean, empty of history, at least on the surface, but something about it never settled. It didn't feel hostile, just unfinished, like the walls hadn't learned the family yet. It started small. Sometimes she heard her name being called, not faintly, clearly. Once, when it was just her and her mother in the house, her mother lay napping on one end while she sat on the other side of the house. Suddenly, she heard her mom scream her name, not casually, but desperately, like she needed help immediately. She didn't hesitate. She ran. She burst into her mother's bedroom, heart pounding, already bracing for something terrible, only to find her mom sound asleep, peaceful, completely unaware of having called out. Other times, she would walk through the house and pass through sudden pockets of intense cold, like stepping through invisible doorways. Once or twice, she felt as if she'd actually collided with someone, her body reacting as though it had brushed against another person. But there was Never anyone there. She began seeing shapes sometimes, not clearly defined figures, just distortions in her peripheral vision, movement that vanished the moment she looked directly at it. Along with it came a feeling, not fear exactly, but a certainty that something was wrong in a way she couldn't explain. Eventually, she told her brother. He surprised her by saying he was experiencing the same things. They had always been close, the kind of siblings who shared everything, and hearing him confirm it made the experiences harder to dismiss. It wasn't imagination. It wasn't stress. Whatever it wasn't happening to just one of them. One night, during a large power outage, they stayed up together to make sure the basement didn't flood. Their parents slept upstairs. His girlfriend tried to stay awake, but eventually fell asleep. The two of them sat in the living room, reading by flashlight and talking quietly as the night wore on. Their dog, a German Shepherd, slept by the window. As the sky began to lighten just before sunrise, she heard a sound, sharp, high-pitched, and strange. It didn't sound natural. It didn't sound like an animal. There was something almost electronic about it, as if it had been produced rather than made. She assumed it was her brother's phone. She didn't say anything, and then he asked, "Did you hear that?" And then the sound was loud enough that it should have woken the house, loud enough to startle the dog, but the dog didn't move. When she called her name, the dog didn't even stir. They looked at each other and said nothing. Some things don't need to be discussed to be understood. After the night of the power outage, things didn't immediately get worse. In some ways, that made it harder to deal with. There was no obvious progression, no clear threat. Just a growing sense that whatever was happening wasn't random. She and her brother didn't talk about it much after that night. They didn't need to. The shared experience had drawn a quiet line between them. An understanding that there were things in the house that didn't behave the way they should. Things that didn't respond to light, sound, or attention in expected ways. The dog's reaction bothered her the most, or rather, the lack of one. Their German Shepherd was alert to everything. Passing cars, footsteps outside, unfamiliar sounds. None of it escaped her notice. And yet, during the screech, during the cold spots, during the moments when her name was called, the dog remained asleep or indifferent. That absence of response felt intentional, as if whatever moved through the house existed just outside the range of things animals react to. Not long after, the dreams began. And the one that stayed with her came shortly before she turned 16. It didn't feel like a dream in the way dreams usually do. Nothing shifted or morphed. The setting didn't change without warning. There were no gaps or jumps. Everything was exactly as it should have been. She was sitting on the porch with her dog beside her. Her parents were in the yard going about their business. The light was right. The air felt normal. The world made sense. Then from the edge of the woods, three figures emerged. They were hooded, their faces hidden, their movements calm and deliberate. They didn't rush her. They didn't threaten her. They simply approached and told her she needed to come with them, and they said she needed to go home. The word struck her immediately because she already was home. And yet when they spoke, she felt a pull so strong it nearly overwhelmed her. A deep, aching certainty that whatever they were offering was something she'd been missing without knowing it. She wanted to go, not impulsively, not recklessly. She wanted it the way you want something you've been waiting for without realizing it. Still, she hesitated. She looked at her parents in the yard and felt an equally strong resistance. She wasn't ready to leave them, not yet. So she told the figures to come back at midnight. They didn't argue. They didn't agree either. One of them simply said, "Maybe," and then they turned and disappeared back into the trees. She woke up with her heart racing, the feeling lingering long after the images faded. She never had another dream like it. When she told her father about it, his reaction startled her. Instead of dismissing it, he went quiet. Then, slowly, he told her about his own dreams. Dreams he'd had for years, but never spoken about. He described hooded figures coming to him, too, asking for her and her brother, promising things in exchange, success, wealth, opportunities, beyond anything he could imagine. He said he always refused. He told her another dream, one he'd had when she was a baby. In it, his deceased grandfather appeared and led him away while the family was at a store together. They talked as they walked, and at first everything felt normal. Then he realized something was wrong. His family wasn't with him anymore. Panic set in when he understood that he wasn't protecting them. When he turned to look for his grandfather, he was gone. It took him a long time to find his way back, but eventually he did. He found his family again, unharmed. That was all he said. And after that, whenever she tried to bring these things up again, he shut down. Her mother reacted even worse, nervous, angry, afraid in a way that felt disproportionate to the conversation. Both of them told her to stop talking about it, to let it go, to forget it. Her brother refused outright. He wouldn't discuss what he'd experienced anymore. If she tried, his mood would shift instantly. Irritation, agitation, sometimes outright anger. He'd change the subject or leave the room. It was as if speaking about it threatened something fragile. That silence did more to unsettle her than any unexplained noise ever had. On a trip back to Lithuania later on, she learned things about her family that didn't line up with the life she'd known growing up. Stories of a different past, a different version of her parents. Her father, she was told, had once been exceptional. He excelled at sports, took first place regularly. He was gifted in drama, well-liked, ambitious. He held a respected job that required him to travel across Europe and later took a high-ranking management position so he could be closer to his family. Her mother stayed home. They had money, stability. Everything seemed close to perfect. And then abruptly, they left. No slow decline, no long struggle. Just a sudden move to another country, a complete reset of their lives. When she asked why, no one gave her a straight answer. Standing there, hearing these stories, she felt the same unease she'd felt in the house back in Indiana. The sense that something essential was being withheld, that the silence itself was doing work. Since then, she's noticed how the strange moments in her life don't feel random. They feel like interruptions, like reminders. Waking in the night to hear her name called, the recurring sense that there's something she's meant to understand but hasn't been allowed to yet. She's always been drawn to the unexplained, not out of thrill-seeking, but out of recognition, as if the questions themselves are familiar. Sometimes she wonders if the reason nothing has fully revealed itself is because she hasn't crossed some unseen line, or because someone else already did and paid the price for it. She doesn't claim to know what any of it means. She just knows that the pieces don't sit right. After returning to the United States, nothing dramatically changed. No doors slammed, no figures appeared in corners, no voices demanded answers. And yet, the sense that something unfinished lingered never really left her. The house remained mostly quiet. The cold spots came and went. The sensation of walking through something unseen happened rarely, but often enough that she stopped reacting to it outwardly. When it occurred, she would pause for just a moment, collect herself, and keep going. She learned quickly that acknowledging it didn't make it clearer. It only made it heavier. Her name was still called sometimes, not often, not predictably. Always at moments when she was tired, unfocused, or drifting toward sleep. The sound was never distorted or distant. It always sounded close, as if spoken by someone standing just out of view. Each time, she responded the same way, by listening carefully, waiting for more, and receiving nothing. What unsettled her most wasn't fear. It was familiarity. The feeling that these moments weren't intrusions, but interruptions. Like something brushing against her awareness, checking whether she was paying attention. She stopped trying to ask her parents about it altogether. The reaction was always the same. Tension, anger, fear, masked as irritation. Her mother would shut conversations down sharply. Her father would withdraw, his expression closing in on itself. There was no opening there, no reassurance, only the clear message that some subjects were off limits. With her brother, the silence was different. He wasn't angry in the way her parents were. He was defensive, guarded, as if acknowledging what they'd both experienced might force him to confront something he was actively trying to outrun. When she pressed him even gently, his mood would darken, and he'd leave the room. Over time, she stopped asking, but she paid attention. She noticed how tightly he clung to routine, how he avoided being alone at night, how certain sounds made him flinch even when he pretended they didn't. Whatever he had experienced, it hadn't left him untouched, neither had she. As she grew older, she became more aware of an odd restlessness within herself, a pull toward something she couldn't name. It wasn't dissatisfaction with her life. It wasn't boredom. It felt more like a sense of incompleteness, as though a question had been asked years ago and never answered. The dream with the hooded figures stayed with her more than any other experience. Not because it frightened her, but because of how natural it felt. The way the world and the dream had been exact. The way the figures hadn't threatened her or chased her. The way they'd spoken as if everything was already decided. As if she had been expected. Most of all, the word they used. Home. She sometimes wondered what would have happened if she'd gone with them. Or if she'd said yes without hesitation. Or if midnight had come and she'd been waiting. She didn't dwell on it obsessively, but the question returned in quiet moments, uninvited and unresolved. Her father never mentioned his dreams again, but she watched him differently after learning about them. She noticed how protective he was without being overbearing, how often he checked in without asking direct questions, how tense he became when conversations drifted toward spirituality or belief. There was something in him that remained alert, as if he were still guarding against a possibility only he could see. The story he told her about his grandfather stayed with her, too. The way he'd been led away. The moment he realized he wasn't protecting his family anymore. The panic that followed. She recognized something familiar in that. A theme. Not temptation, exactly. Not danger in the obvious sense, but distraction. Separation. Being pulled just far enough away that something important could be lost. That, more than anything else, made her uneasy. She doesn't frame her experiences as hauntings. She doesn't describe herself as gifted or cursed or chosen. What happened to her doesn't fit neatly into those categories. There were no clear messages, no instructions, no revelations, just moments. Moments where the world felt thinner. Where the distance between things seemed to close just enough to be noticed. Sometimes, late at night, she still wakes with a sense that she's being called, not by name, but by something deeper. A pull she can't quite follow. A question she can't quite phrase. She doesn't believe she's crazy. She believes she's missing context. And maybe that's the hardest part of all, knowing that whatever brushed against her life didn't leave answers behind. Only the sense that something once reached out, was refused or interrupted, and then quietly stepped back into whatever space it came from. She doesn't know if that's something to be grateful for or something to mourn. All she knows is that the feeling hasn't gone away, and that sometimes the most unsettling stories aren't the ones where something stays, but the ones where something almost did.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.